Living systems, Arnold said, are not like mechanical systems. Living systems are never in equilibrium. They are inherently unstable. They may seem stable, but they're not. Everything is moving and changing. In a sense, everything is on the edge of collapse. Gennaro was frowning. But lots of things don't change. Body temperature doesn't change, all kinds of other... Body temperature changes constantly, Arnold said. Constantly. It changes cyclically over 24 hours, lowest in the morning, highest in the afternoon. It changes with mood, with disease, with exercise, with outside temperature, with food. It continuously fluctuates up and down, tiny jiggles on a graph, because at any moment some forces are pushing temperature up or other forces are pulling it down. It is inherently unstable, and every other aspect of living systems is like that too. So you're saying Malcolm's just another theoretician, Arnold said. Sitting in his office, he made a nice mathematical model, and it never occurred to him that what he saw as defects were actually necessities. Look, when I was working on missiles, we dealt with something called resonant yaw. Resonant yaw meant that even though a missile was only slightly unstable off the pad, it was hopeless. It was inevitably going to go out of control, and it couldn't be brought back. That's a feature of mechanical systems. A little wobble can get worse until the whole system collapses. But those same little wobbles are essential to a living system. They mean the system is healthy and responsive. Malcolm never understood that. Are you sure he didn't understand that? He seems pretty clear on the difference between living and non-living. Look, Arnold said, the proof is right here. He pointed to the screens. In less than an hour, he said, the park will be all back online. The only thing I've got left to clear is the telephones. For some reason, they're still out, but everything else will be working. And that's not theoretical, that's a fact. The needle went deep into the neck, and Harding injected the Medrine into the anesthetized female dryosaur as she lay on her side on the ground. Immediately, the animal began to recover, snorting and kicking her powerful hind legs. Back, everybody, Harding said, scrambling away. Get back. The dinosaur staggered to her feet, standing drunkenly. She shook her lizard head, stared at the people standing back in the quartz lights, and blinked. She's drooling, Hammond said, worried. Temporary, Harding said. It'll stop. The dryosaur coughed and then moved slowly across the field, away from the lights. Why isn't she humping? She will, Harding said. It'll take her about an hour to recover fully. She's fine. He turned back to the car. Okay, boys, let's go deal with a stego. Muldoon watched as the last of the stakes was pounded into the ground. The lines were pulled taut, and the protocarpus tree was lifted clear. Muldoon could see the blackened, charred streaks on the silver fence where the short had occurred. At the base of the fence, several ceramic insulators had burst. They would have to be replaced. But before that could be done, Arnold would have to shut down all the fences. Control, this is Muldoon. We're ready to begin repair. All right, Arnold said. Shutting out your section now. Muldoon glanced at his watch. Somewhere in the distance, he heard soft hooting. It sounded like owls, but he knew it was the Dilophosaurs. He went over to Ramon and said, let's finish this up. I want to get to those other sections of fence. An hour went by. Donald Gennaro stared at the glowing map in the control room as the spots and numbers flickered and changed. What's happening now? Arnold worked at the console. I'm trying to get the phones back so we can call about Malcolm. No, I mean out there. Arnold glanced up at the board. It looks as if they're about done with the animals and the two sections. Just as I told you, the park is back in hand, with no catastrophic Malcolm effect. In fact, there's just that third section of fence. Arnold! It was Muldoon's voice. Yes? Have you seen this bloody fence? Just a minute. On one of the monitors, Gennaro saw a high angle down on a field of grass blowing in the wind. In the distance was a low concrete roof. That's the sauropod maintenance building, Arnold explained. It's one of the utility structures we use for equipment, feed storage, and so on. We have them all around the park, in each of the paddocks. On the monitor, the video image panned. We're turning the camera now to get a look at the fence. Gennaro saw a shining wall of metallic mesh in the light. One section had been trampled, knocked flat. Muldoon's jeep and work crew were there.
"Huh," Arnold said. "Looks like the wrecks went into the sauropod paddock." Muldoon said, "Fine dining tonight."
"We'll have to get him out of there," Arnold said.
"With what?" Muldoon said. "We haven't got anything to use on a Rex. I'll fix this fence, but I'm not going in there until daylight."
"Hammond won't like it."
"We'll discuss it when I get back," Muldoon said.